Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Now, no punishment here as our next guest, one of our favorite guests of the Monday Morning Quarterback, the always great Albert Breer, joining us as he always does Tuesdays at 5:20. Albert, welcome back, bud.
So it's not a Shedeur Sanders conversation anymore. It's a Dylan Gabriel conversation. Is that right?
It's a Dylan conversation for now, but don't you worry. There's a Shedeur conversation to be had.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't think that's how you guys would be coming out of the win against a really good Packers team, but here we are.
So I actually do want to ask you about that, because going into the game on Sunday, there had been a local report that the Browns had actually spent Monday of last week considering benching Joe Flacco for Dylan Gabriel, and now Joe, we've got a great win, by the way. We appreciate that win. Joe was not a big part of the win, as they kind of won in spite of Joe. How close do you think the Browns have actually gotten to benching Joe Flacco from this point?
I don't think it's gotten that close. The sense I got through camp and like in the beginning of the season was that Joe was light years ahead of the other two, and Dylan was like significantly ahead of Shedeur. You know, like, so. I mean, has Dylan closed that gap? I certainly think it's possible. I know they felt like at the beginning of the season, like, and the way it was explained to me was like, we would feel comfortable putting Dylan in a game right now, which is part of what gave you the freedom to move off of Kenny Pickett. But, you know, I think like as long as they're in the hunt, and, you know, like at 1-2, they're still in the hunt. I think you go with what you know. You go with Joe Flacco. But I think, like, a lot of people look at this the wrong way. It's not the quarterback in a vacuum. It's, like, how much of the offense is the quarterback going to be able to run? And how does that open up things for the other 10 guys in the huddle? And, you know, Joe, I think, is still at the highest level when it comes to that, as far as how much of the offense they're able to run, how open the playbook is when he's in there.
What would the leash, Albert, be for Joe Flacco? And is there a perfect transitional time in this schedule? You get the Vikings after the Lions, and obviously that's overseas in London. You come back to the States to play the Steelers, and then things get a little softer. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. What's your take on a potential transition from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel as far as the timeline goes?
I think that all depends, Daryl, on like what the record is. And I know that's probably oversimplifying it, but you know, if you're 4-2 with Joe Flacco as your quarterback, then you know, there's going to be no need to make a change. If you're 1-5, well, like now we're talking about something else. And you know, I think there's two reasons why you would make that move. Number one, you need a spark, and the team is struggling in one way or another. You think Dylan Gabriel can come in and give you that spark? That's number one. Number two, it's because you want to get an evaluation on the young guys. And that one, to me, is like, veterans will understand that when you're out of the race, right? if you want to keep the guys locked in, you aren't going to do that while you're still in the hunt. And so, like, I think the evaluation period's a little bit later in the year and seeing what you have in your roster. And again, like, all these guys are, these guys weren't born yesterday. They're not 8-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like, they understand when the time comes that the coaches, the front office, they have to evaluate, you know, what they have and their young players. But you can't do that while you still got a lot going on if the player at that position is playing at a relatively high level. And so, you know, I think if Dylan closes the gap on Joe enough where you think Dylan can give you a spark, then that's one thing. I'd say at the end of camp, he had a ways to go to prove he could do that. But they did feel like by the middle of the year, like they'd be comfortable starting him in a game. So maybe you're eventually getting there. But otherwise, if it's an evaluation thing, I think you're waiting a little bit longer.
Albert Breer on the fan hotline here with Nick Wilson and Daryl Ryder getting you ready. We're still enjoying the Green Bay win, but getting you ready as we turn the page to Detroit starting tomorrow. But considering that, I think not only did this shock the football world, I think given where the Browns were entering the fourth quarter, they might also be a little shocked they got that win and how they got that win. How much does this one win against Green Bay change things for the Browns and what they're trying to do?
I mean, it definitely gives you, you know, a little more energy and a little bit of a proof of concept here that some of the things he's been doing are working. I certainly think, like, if the Browns are going anywhere, if they're going to be playing meaningful football in December, I think we all know this. The rookie class is going to have to be a big part of it. And I think you've gotten really encouraging signs of late that could happen with, you know, I think how Mason Graham's played, how Carson Schlesinger's played, and then, like, what Quinshon Judkins did for the run game there against the Packers. So, like, I think you have a little hop in your step now. And again, this isn't going to get easier over the next few weeks. They got a difficult road to hoe. They got, you know, that trip to London wedged in there. You know, but, like, I do think, like, now you're at the point where it's like, I think we all looked at that six-game stretch to start the season, and it was like, I don't know how they're not going to go 0-6. And now we know they've already avoided that, right? So where's the next step? What do they look like against Detroit? How does that, like, provide a springboard into Minnesota? Like, I think this at least gives you an opportunity to look at it a little bit of a different way. And if you're a fan, it's like that light at the end of the tunnel is Miami, you know, in week 7. And can you get there and still, you know, have the sort of record that makes you feel like you're in it?
Albert, we know how it is in Cleveland as far as, you know, speculation of the future and big picture. And, you know, is Kevin Stefanski on the hot seat? Is Andrew Berry on the hot seat? You mentioned these rookies and just how great they've been for Mason Graham. Harold Fannin might be my favorite player in this rookie class. And those, no disrespect to Carson Schlesinger, who's been phenomenal as well. And Quinshon Judkins is already showing you that he really might be able to solidify the run game. How much do you think, though, regardless of record, the success of this year's rookie class could impact jobs being saved here in Cleveland this year?
I mean, it's massive because I think it's not like Jimmy doesn't know the plan. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I think a big part of this for the front office was, like, taking a realistic look in the mirror and where are you at? Like, you know, a couple of years or 3 years after the Deshaun Watson trade. And the reality is, like, I think when you look at the core that they were able to make the playoffs twice with, right, some of those guys are getting older. Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Joel Bitonio, some of the guys are obviously gone now. You know, guys like Amari Cooper. So, like, you know, there was a void there as far as where's the young core coming up that's eventually going to replace those guys, right? Like, that's going to be the basis of the next era of Browns. And, their inability to put together the sort of group that could become that, I think, is part of the cost of doing the Deshaun Watson trade. You didn't have a first-round pick in 22, 23, 24, and those guys should be the core of your team now. And They're not there, and you didn't get anything from the Watson trade either. You know, so, you know, you look at the result of that, and it really hurts. And I think that's why the plan was Travis Hunter's great, but we need like a lot of young players. We need to be able to put multiple young players on the roster and start to put together a good, like good young nucleus that we're going to be able to build around going forward. So it's this draft and it's next draft. I think, you know, this 2-year stretch is going to be really critical to the survival of the guys in the building long-term, no doubt about it. And that's part of the plan. And like I said, Daryl, like, you know, Jimmy knows that plan. So I think he's going to have patience, and it's not just going to be about the win-loss record. It's going to be about the development of the team going forward. And I think, you know, the promise of the guys you mentioned is certainly a good sign that what Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and everybody else put together there in the offseason is working.
Albert, Travis Hunter's first 3 games as a rookie, there's been some good, but there's been a fair amount of, I think he had 2 targets this last week. He did play 69% of the defensive snaps. Is there any concern yet in Jacksonville that the two-way part of the Travis Hunter thing might be too overwhelming for the young player?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that so much, Nick. Here's my question, right? Like, and this is, I think, the risk in taking Travis Hunter, because I think at a baseline, he's a really good player, right? But let's say that that does become too much, right? Let's say that whatever happens, like, he just, like he can't do it. So he's got to be part-time on one side of the ball and full-time on the other. I don't know that anybody thought he was, like, Pat Surtain as a corner or he was Julio Jones as a receiver, right? And so those are the types of guys that typically at those positions go in the top 10. Like, he's not Jamar Chase as a receiver. He's not Derek Stingley as a corner. So if he's not giving you everything, then he's giving you more on one side of the ball than the other. And to me, the concern would be if he's just a good corner, was it worth trading up to the second pick to get him? I don't know. I'll let you guys answer that. What do you think?
No, and that's actually why I was afraid of taking Travis with the number 2 pick. And the right. People who kind of called me out for it are now the people being like, I think Nick maybe had a point.
Raise his hand here.
And that's the thing is, that's the thing is, like, you wonder, is it one of those jack of all trades, master of none things? And I'm not denigrating him at all. He is what he pulled off in college is freaking unbelievable. And like, maybe we'll never see it again. And I just think like the mental, physical, you know, like the endurance it takes, the focus, the football IQ to do what he did in college is just off the charts, right? So you give him all the credit in the world for being that and doing that. But if you're talking about a guy that you're going to trade up to the second overall pick and give up a future one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
To go and get, I mean, I just think about, like, the types of guys that go second overall that aren't quarterbacks, right? I mean, they're almost all just freaks of nature. And I don't know. I'm just not sure, like, you look at Travis Hunter, and if in a vacuum you were just drafting him as a receiver or you were just drafting him as a corner, he would have been, he would have been seen, he would have looked at it that way, right? And that to me is it was the risk of taking him so high.
Albert, if either Dylan and or Shador plays this year and neither guy makes an impact, it sure looks like 2026 is where the Browns are going to be going for a quarterback. What are you hearing about the 2026 class? I was scared for a minute, but Fernando Mendoza made me very happy this weekend.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody's fully shown. I follow this stuff closely enough to have like the context of like the guys who before the year were like, yep, that guy's going to the top 10 and they helped serve, right? And so like that's not even Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels wasn't seen that way coming in. He played his way into being the second overall pick. Drake May was. Caleb Williams was. Trevor Lawrence was. Joe Burrow wasn't, right? Justin Herbert was. So, I would put the guys in this year's class, the half dozen of them, whatever that number is, in that second category where it was like, this guy could be a high first-round pick, but we're not quite sure yet. Like, we need to see a little bit more. So I think that's where Nussmeier was coming in the year. I think that's where Sellers was. I think that's where Aller was. Like, I think for all of these guys, that's the way they were seen coming into the season. And, look, like, September's not even over yet. So we'll see what happens the rest of the year. But I don't know that anybody's really stood out to the point where you're looking at him and saying, yeah, like, that's the guy. That guy's definitely going top five. I don't think we're there yet.
Hey, Albert, who's in bigger trouble, the 1-2 Ravens or 1-2 Chiefs?
Neither. I think they're both going to be there at the end. I mean, that's a good Lions team that the Ravens lost to. And then they were the victims of a miracle comeback against Buffalo. You guys saw firsthand how good they are, right? The Chiefs are banged up. I mean, I think if you ask me on paper, who's more at risk right now, I'd probably say the Chiefs. I think they're in a tougher division. And, I think the injury stuff might not resolve itself. Can Xavier Worthy stay healthy? Can Hollywood Brown stay healthy? Rashi Rice has been injured. What does he look like when he gets back? I think on paper, you look at the Chiefs, you could say, well, Rice was going to be their best receiver all along. He's back after 6 weeks. He'll be healthy. Worthy comes back. You hope he can stay healthy. Josh Simmons is a rookie at left tackle. Presumably, he'll be a lot better in week 10 than he is now. So you see these things where it's like, by midseason, they should be all right. And the Chiefs, I think, are one of those teams that has a way of working things out over the course of the season, figuring out what they're good at, and then leaning into that. So I think both of them are going to be there in the end. I'd say if, there was one team I was a little more worried about, it might be the Chiefs just because there are a few more ifs with them, but I think they're both going to be there at the end.
All right, speaking of potential panic, Bill Belichick, lost to TCU, okay. Then, 3 weeks later, he gets waxed by Central Florida. A juggernaut, I know. Four games in, how much concern is there about Bill Belichick? Because I'm starting to wonder if maybe he could be a one and done in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be a lot of money to pay him out, right? So I'm not sure, but I think there's definitely concern. I mean, it was a dice roll to hire. He's never coached in college. How's he going to recruit? Now, you have, what looks like, a little bit of a messy program. They had trouble, keeping that Jordan Hudson thing on the rails. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things that just seem like they're where the wind blows them right now. And so I don't know, I don't know what this is going to look like in a month or two. But certainly you're seeing why this is a risky hire in the first place. And, I don't know, you guys are sitting there in a city that Bill used to coach in, so you could probably appreciate this, but there are a lot of people up here who have started to put together what Bill's record looks like without Tom Brady, and that's including his last 5 years here, and it's not so pretty.
And it definitely feels like there's no shortage of people who would like to see him fail in North Carolina. I don't know if you've gotten that as well.
Yeah, no, I think there are definitely some people that maybe he didn't treat great that are laying in wait right now to see how this all plays out.
Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll catch up with you the next. We didn't have time to talk Ohio State, Washington. I don't think we have much to worry about, so we'll catch
you. Do you think we'll be all right?
Yeah, the DeMond kid is a wild card, though. He could make that game fun.
He's a player. Yeah, he's a player. I will say this, that Arvell Reese we have, though, I think as far as dealing with mobile quarterbacks, he's given us problems in the past, but I think that Arvell Reese is a Cleveland kid, right? Like, is a little bit of an equalizer.
Love it, Albert. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there of the MMQB on the Fan Hotline will react to what he had to say, the Browns quarterback situation, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, the way I took the Green Bay game for Joe is he was bad enough that I thought in-game they would have been justified benching Joe. And not like they did where, we just got to get him out on the field again in the Baltimore game.
Right.
But furthermore, I think if they had lost that game 10-0 is the way it felt like it was going for 56 minutes.
In which I wrote on X that it felt like it was a 30-0 yes. deficit.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this would be Dylan Gabriel week.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it makes sense to me. It does. I can't fight, hey, we just won a game. You don't bench your starting quarterback after you win a game, especially one that felt like you might have some juice on it. We'll send him out there against Detroit. I think we're week to week now. And I think we should be week to week because Albert, and I thought Albert did such an awesome point at breaking this down. There's going to Dylan Gabriel because you have to evaluate him, which is one message to the team. The other is you need a spark.
Yes.
And if you can't muster, get back to where the first 2 weeks of the season you were at least averaging 16.5 points per game. If you can't get back to at least that this week against a very good defense who just kicked the crap out of Baltimore. Baltimore still scored 24, by the way. It was close right. Going to the fourth quarter. But if you can't muster 17 points this weekend, I don't know how you don't consider going to Dylan Gabriel very seriously for the Minnesota game.
Well, and that's where I was really at with this. I just wanted Joe to get you through like the most difficult part of the schedule, and that was Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit. And I'm not saying that like all of a sudden the Vikings becomes a cupcake trip across the pond, but like there are, and that's why I asked Albert last segment, you know, where is there a good spot in the schedule to make this transition from Joe to Dylan? And for me, I think that transition now is Miami October 19.
Yeah, but I think you're basing that off of if you're going to the evaluation mode if there's a chance that he can spark the team, I think you really have to consider that.
Because
that might extend your winning window early in the season.
My point is, though, is I feel like the organizational view of it is if we play Dylan, it's for evaluation purposes, not because we're expecting him as a third-round pick to come out there and give us a spark and save our season.
I think that's
the lens with which I'm looking through the situation right now. And sometimes they're loyal to a fault. And, you know, for all the criticism the Browns get for the turbulence and things like that, sometimes they're loyal to a fault when it comes to veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think like with Joe, they're trying to like give that leash as much length as humanly possible here. And let's be honest about it. If they lose to Detroit and they fall to 1-3, okay, I would absolutely consider Dylan for the Minnesota game because
mm-hmm.
I think that no pressure, you're not at home, you know, all that. But do you want him to come home and have to go to Pittsburgh next? Not really. Because, see, I'm all about setting this kid up to build confidence and success.
I'm all about seeing the kid. I'm not raising a child here.
But in some respects, you are.
No, you're not. He's a grown man. He has 12 grandchildren.
Well,
he was in college for 75 years.
I'm not.
He's
speaking,
got his golden Buckeye card.
I'm not speaking. No, that's you.
Ouch.
I'm not speaking in literal terms. What I'm saying, he is a third round rookie in the National Football League, and I think he's got a better chance to beat like the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots and the New York Jets than he does the Vikings and the Steelers. That's my whole point. Because a win, right? He goes out there, he wins. I think that gives him confidence as a young NFL player, maybe not so much when it comes to the age.
You're lucky that this was a short segment. I have to hold on to my Dylan and Shador commentary for a minute there. 216-474-0092. Is there a perfect time to go to Dylan Gabriel? We'll ask that of Lance Reisland coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.